and other indulgences, Kitty and Peter never bonded, and their relationship was often quite contentious. Robert felt Kitty was the problem. Robert thought, said Hobson, that in their highly charged, passionate falling in love that Peter had come too soon, and Kitty resented him for that. When he was about 11 years old, Peter put on some puppy fat, and Kitty couldn't stop nagging him about his weight. There was never much food around the house, but now Kitty put Peter on a strict diet. Mother and son fought frequently. She used to make Peter's life just miserable the way she went on about it, Hobson said.
Sure agreed.
Kitty was very, very impatient with him. She had absolutely no intuitive understanding of the children. Robert stood passively by, and if pressed, he invariably took Kitty's side in these arguments. He, Robert, was very loving, recalled Dr. Hempelman. He didn't discipline the kids. Kitty did all that. From all accounts, Peter was a normal, rambunctious child. As a toddler, like most boys, he had been loud, active, and altogether difficult to handle. But Kitty interpreted his behavior as abnormal. She once told Bob Serber that her relationship with Peter was fine until the boy turned 7 years old, and then it suddenly changed, and she never knew why. Peter was a great builder. Like his Uncle Frank, he could do marvelous things with his hands, taking things apart and putting them back together. But he never shone in school, and Kitty found this intolerable. Peter was a terrifically sensitive child, said Harold Chernus, and he had a very hard time in school, but this had nothing to do with his ability. In response to Kitty's nagging, Peter retreated into himself. Serber recalled that when Peter was 5 or 6 years old, he seemed to be starved for affection. But as a teenager, he was just very solemn. You'd come into the Oppenheimer kitchen, Serber said, and Peter would be a shadow, trying not to be noticed. That would be Peter. Kitty treated her daughter very differently. Her attachment to Tony, Hobson recalled, was profound and seemed just purely loving and admiring. She wanted only goodness and happiness for Tony, and she was just horrible to Peter. As a young girl, Tony always seemed serene and sturdy. From when she was 6 or 7 years old, Hobson observed, the rest of the family relied on her to be sensible and solid and to cheer them on. Tony was the one you never worried about. Late in 1951, Tony, then 7, was diagnosed with a mild case of polio, and doctors advised the Oppenheimers to take her somewhere warm and humid. That Christmas, they rented a 72-foot ketch, the Comanche, and spent 2 weeks sailing around St. Croix in the U.S. Virgin Islands. The Comanche was owned and captained by Ted Dale, a warm and gregarious man who quickly won Robert's affection. Dale sailed the boat over to St. John, a tiny jewel of an island with pristine white beaches and turquoise waters. Anchoring in Trunk Bay, they went ashore and explored. Charmed, Robert wrote a letter to Ruth Tolman describing St. John. Ruth replied, "So the warm waters, the bright fish, the soft trade winds must all have been welcome and restoring." St. John left a deep impression upon the Oppenheimers. Tony recovered from her bout with polio. Years later, she would return to this lovely island paradise and make it her permanent home.